He scrambled to his feet and limped towards his saviors, summoning his wand back with one hand while wiping blood off his face with the other. To his surprise, it was two young people, a girl and a young man. He thought he recognized the female.
"Rossum, right?" he asked. "One of the new trainees?"
"Yes, sir," Emily said crisply. "And this is my friend, Marcus Flint."
Flint nodded respectfully to the Auror.
"Well, thanks for the assistance," Robart said as he cast a flipping hex of his own to knock back the advancing villagers. "But how are you with shield charms?"
"I know all the Protego series charms, sir," Emily said as she sent a few stunners into the crowd.
I know the basic spell, but I can't hold them for very long," Marcus stammered. "Well, do the best you can, then," the Auror said. "Target them overlapping right there."
He pointed to a spot on the ground just a few feet in front of him.
"Now!"
Emily and Marcus each cast their strongest shield spells as directed. Then Robards took a deep breath and flicked his own wand madly at the shield.
"Protego Maxima! Fianto Duri! Repello Inimicum!"
Suddenly, Marcus's wand started vibrating, and it seemed to give off a mild electric shock as the small shield he and Emily had cast together shuddered, expanded, and then wrapped itself around the mob, creating a 10-foot-tall wall of force that contained the rampaging villagers. But the strain was great for a single wizard, and Gawain's knees buckled, though Marcus caught it before he fell.
"Thanks, lad. That takes a lot out of you. Should give us a few minutes, though."
"So what now, sir?" Emily asked anxiously.
"Now? You two get to play catch."
With that, Auror Robards bent down and touched his wand to the ground. Instantly, the earth beneath him rose up to form a tower of stone high enough to give him a view of the whole street, and a clear shot at those villagers who seemed unaffected by the strange madness and thus had become victims for those who were under its sway.
"Ack your woman in blue robes! Ack your old man in kilt! Ack your boy and girl who climbed the tree for safety!"
In response to each spell, another person was yanked out of the enclosure and flew away from the mob through the air towards Robards, only to get caught by a levitation charm from either Emily or Marcus and lowered safely to the ground. By this point, a few dozen of the rage-maddened villagers were now rushing the Protego shield and violently hurling themselves at it out of a desire to harm those on the other side who were unaffected. And all the while, they kept screaming hysterically,
"Outcast! Outcast!"
Suddenly, a familiar voice drew the Auror's attention. It was Alistair Moody, followed closely behind by his former pupil, Nymphadora Tonks.
"Robards!" bellowed the former Auror. "I ordered every Auror to the post office, which is under attack by Death Eaters. What the hell is going on here? Report!"
"Damn it, Alistair,"
Robards replied irritably.
"You're tired. I don't have to give you reports anymore, let alone follow your orders."
"No, but you will anyway. You'll have enough sense to do what I say because you'll realize I'm probably right. Now what's going on?"
Robards rolled his eyes at the old man's usually justifiable arrogance.
"Some kind of psychomagical effect emanating from the Tonks clinic. I was actually on my way to the post office when it went off. It's causing some kind of violent madness among the affected townspeople."
"What?"
Nymphadora gasped at that news while her mentor surveyed the street.
"But not all of them, I see," Moody replied thoughtfully.
As he spoke, he withdrew his wand into its holster and then pulled a small wooden rod from an inside pocket. It looked vaguely wand-like, but was thicker and less delicate. He held the rod up to his lips and whispered something, and suddenly the rod became a 5-foot-long staff covered in obscure runes and markings. As Robards began to sputter, Moody tapped the staff twice to the ground, and suddenly he was lifted up on a stone tower that rose out of the earth like the one Robards had transfigured.
That's a bloody battle stave!" the Auror exclaimed. "There's no way that's legal for a civilian to own!"
Moody barked out a laugh.
"Take it up with the Chief Auror. Wonder Boy Potter signed off on the paperwork 3 days before I retired. You should probably be aware that your boss never reads anything that someone he trusts puts in front of him before he sticks his autograph on it."
With that, Moody began to spin the staff around his body in a complicated pattern before finally pointing it towards the center of the enclosure.
"Somnium Horribilis!"
There was a wave of magical energy that rolled over the raging mob, and almost instantly, the people trapped inside the ward all fell to the ground unconscious. Soon after, the twin pillars bearing Robards and Moody aloft sank back down into the earth while the shield ward was allowed to dissipate.
"Well, that's one problem solved," Robards said.
"And another one started!" exclaimed Marcus. "Look!"
The boy gestured further down the street behind them, where a fistfight had broken out among several citizens outside the wards, and most of them were also yelling, "Outcast!" at the top of their lungs as well.
"Damn it!" Moody swore. "Whatever it is, it's spreading!"
"Well, whatever it's causing, it seems to be sent out on the Tonks Clinic," Robard said as he pointed towards the building that was still illuminated by an eerie light and giant floating runes.
"What the hell is that rune?" exclaimed Tonks, who only noticed the strange markings floating in the air around her home after Robard's ward had fallen.
"My father's still in there!"
She advanced towards the clinic, only to stagger back in surprise when a set of first-floor windows exploded with a blast of green fire.
"Merlin preserve us!" Robards exclaimed in horror.
"That's fiend fire!"
"No!"
Tonks screamed as she started to run towards the door, only to be grabbed by Moody and Robards.
"No, girl!" Moody ordered. "You can't just rush into a building burning with hellfire. It's suicide!"
"But my father's in there! And Theo was bringing some of his friends over for lunch! They must be trapped inside!"
"It's too late, child," Robards said solemnly.
"No, it's not," Moody answered, his eye whirling madly. "I see four people in there, a man and three children. The man looks hurt, but they're all safe up on the second floor. Well, alive anyway, hardly safe, though."
Tonks looked at her burning home in panic for a few seconds, before she took a deep breath and screamed as loud as she could,
"Iris!"
Barely a second later, there was a soft pop as Iris, the Tonks' house elf, appeared beside her.
"Miss Dora, you shouldn't be calling Iris like that. Iris was with the doctor Mistress Andy, who was..."
Iris's scolding faded away as she saw what was happening to her master's clinic and home.
"Goodness gracious!"
she exclaimed softly.
"Iris," Tonks said urgently, "Dad is still in there, along with Theo and two of his friends. Can you do anything to help them?"
Iris shook her head fearfully.
"Miss Dora, something has been done to the wards. Something evil. Iris does not know if she can pass through."
Tonks knelt down next to the diminutive creature.
"Iris, please. It's my dad,"
she begged with tears in her eyes. Iris looked up at the girl she'd helped raise since infancy. Then she closed her eyes and scrunched her face up into a mask of intense concentration. After a few seconds, she gave a gasp of pain and then popped away.